May the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So I want to share a word with you that's sort of contradictory, but it really ministers and blesses me. We shared the scripture, I think, last week one day. Let me just read these verses to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It speaks about the new creation and the assignment that everyone who's a new creation has, but we're not going to focus on the assignment. Just the new creation again. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that they who are living should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Let me read this scripture from 1 Timothy real quick. This is 1 Timothy 4:10. For it is for this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers. Isn't that interesting? A Savior of all men, but especially of believers. In other words, he died for all people, but he's especially the Savior in a practical, actual way for those who have received him, who've said yes to the gospel. So when he says in verse 14, that the one who died for all, therefore all died, so every human being provisionally died in Christ and was raised up in Christ. But only those who embrace him, who say yes to him, who put faith in him, that's actually true about, personally true about. He died for all, that they who are living, those who have born again, should no longer live, should no longer themselves do the living, that's how it should be written, but the one who died and rose again on our behalf do the one who's doing the living. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if any person is in Christ, they're a new creation. They're a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are something that God accomplished, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. Who reconciled us to himself through Christ. Who reconciled us to himself through Christ. And gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ, reconciling the whole world unto himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he's committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though we were God were entreating through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Let me read this place from Colossians real quick, which describes the cross. Verse 13 of Colossians chapter 2, if I can read through my writing. And when you were dead in your transgressions, the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven you us all of our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt, consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he took it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. And when he did this, he disarmed the rulers and the authorities, made a public display of them. How did God make me a new creation? He said he had to reconcile us to himself. We've talked about this before. That's the most fascinating thing in the world. So if this will be better. If Bracken were God, and I'm a sinful man, broken person, and Bracken longed for reconciliation, but I can't do anything about it. I don't want it. I don't think I need it. I'm in rebellion. I'm in enmity with him, God. He said, all these things are from God. So Bracken said, here's what I'll do. I'm going to be me, but then I'm going to become you, and I'm going to reconcile me to myself. I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to do what you're incapable of doing so that once it's done, you either can believe it and trust and say yes to it and get to experience all the wonders of that or not. Then that's grace. That's crazy. And he accomplished that Colossians passage, this certificate of debt that was nailed to the cross. On the cross, as they put on there, Jesus, King of the Jews, that was one of the indictments that he claimed. That's why he was crucified. He claimed to be king. So on the cross, when a person's crucified, there's also nailed there the reasons, the crimes for which they're guilty. We have to see what happened is that my sins were nailed there. They were listed, my crimes, because I was the one crucified. He reconciled me to himself. I was the one crucified in him. That's the miracle. That's the wonder of it all. That's the amazing brilliance of God. The only solution for me, broken relationship with God, is that I got to die and I got to be raised up a new person. But how could that happen without me actually physically dying and being lost forever? Jesus will become me. He'll wrap himself up in our humanity. And he'll die, not just for me, but he'll die as me. I'll die on that cross. And all the decrees written against me are listed. And then that guy's buried. And then I'll be raised up in union with this risen Christ. And I'll be now made the righteousness of God in Christ. And therefore, I, now that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, can have relationship with the righteous God. You hear me? How much? That's why he so significantly says, there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. It's the feeling of being condemned and unworthy that keeps us from relationship. But you understand, he's reconciled me to himself. In these scriptures, he says, he reconciled me to himself. And at the end of this little section, he did that by making me become the righteousness of God in Christ. It says about the new creation that I don't see people the same anymore. He says, you don't recognize men according to the flesh anymore. Because I now see from Christ. I see through his eyes. I see from Christ. God sees me in Christ. And therefore, I have the same right to the Father's presence that Jesus does. I can be just as sure that I'm not going to get rejected as Jesus is sure. Isn't it amazing? But I'm going to tell you the cool part, how God is so crazy. He's so amazing. This is the thing, this is what it says in verse 17 of 1 John 4. By this love is perfected with us, that we have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. So, now let's think about God, how he is. Only God can do it this way. You see, because what we do, we look at somebody, and our tendency is to get, you are, it is what it is. You are who you are. So I know who you are, and I know what you've done when you're sitting here and talking to me. But to God, he looks at me and he goes, you are who he is and you are who you are. And I can totally welcome you and fellowship with you because you are as he is. And I can help heal you and hear your stuff in confession because I still accept you for who you are, for who you are. But you are who he is. And so therefore, Mary Magdalene, he says that he revealed himself to her first in resurrection. And he mentions again there in that Mark passage, as if it's important for us to hear it. You ever thought that the Holy Spirit would put something in the book because he wants us to actually hear it? Of whom he cast out 7 demons. He revealed himself to the demonized one first, who had been cast out 7 demons. And how did that happen? When did she get cast 7 demons cast out? When I have time and you go back and you look in Luke 7, she's a prostitute. Here she's going in town, going to be at a Pharisee's house where a prostitute doesn't want to go. She's a social outcast, goes there. His presence, his unconditional love, the fierceness of his great love for her breaks her, devastates her in the right way. Falls down his feet, weeping, standing, weeping tears in his feet, wiping his hair with her hair, the spikenard oil. The Pharisees are getting upset because what's going on? He's letting this prostitute touch him. And then he begins to have this story. He said, she's loved me much because she's forgiven much. Those who've been given little love little. And the very next few verses says, and Mary Magdalene was one of the followers of whom he cast out 7 demons. Where did those demons get cast out? Because she went through a deliverance session, right? When there was a deliverance team, they went through a Lazarus weekend. No, she was just in the presence of the Lord, a prostitute. And she encountered not his condemnation, not his rejection, but his stunning acceptance. He was clothed in our humanity. He loved her just where she was. And just in his presence, experiencing his unconditional love, 7 demons were cast out of her. And she was the one he revealed himself to first. Resurrection. What does that mean? It means this. I'm not only welcome, I'm embraced in his presence because he's reconciled me to himself because I'm now wrapped in Christ and I have Jesus' relationship with him. I'm always welcome. There's not a hint of rejection. How can he do that? He can't. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Understand that. That just blow your mind word. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. And you approach him in Christ. And so you're totally accepted and celebrated. And yet at the same time, in his presence, I can receive healing, even deliverance. How can God see me one way and yet touch me and change me and heal me as if I were another way? Because he's God. I can be in need of deliverance and run into his presence as the righteousness of God in Christ. Whoa, 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 whoa. If you're demonized and you're blown and you're sinful, you're saying to me you can run into his presence as the righteousness of God in Christ? Yes. Because how else can I have a relationship with a righteous God? Because I have the righteousness of God in Christ. And yet he's able to see that, to know that, see me that way. And yet at the same time, see me as one who's in need of healing sometimes. Minister the balm of Gilead, of his love, to my brokenness sometimes. Without feeling yucked out by my presence. Doing it with his finger on his nose. I just think that's amazing. And it's so encouraging. I don't have to crawl into his presence when I need healing. I can come boldly, the scripture says, before the throne of grace. Because I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Our relationship is based on that. For as he is, so am I in this world. And yet, at the same time, I'm a Mary Magdalene. And knowing this, that as a Mary Magdalene, he loves to give the Mary Magdalenes of the world the first things. She saw him first. Isn't that encouraging? That's who he is. That's why he says, about being a new creation, he says, and all these things are from God. He couldn't make it any simpler. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You know, I think that word is so important that it'll show up again for CTKers on a Sunday morning for our whole group. You can't understand God from your perspective. You got to understand God from his perspective, and it'll blow your mind every time.